And justice, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Yo, Chris, what you doing out of school?
Yo, man, they just suspended me, McBoo.
Word, they suspended the teacher?
Yeah, man, I'm getting so sick of this, man. They teaching us about nothing, man. You know what the bottom line is for black people out here? It's quite simple. You must learn. In a song, let me demonstrate the force of knowledge. Knowledge reigns supreme. The ignorant is ripped to smithereens. What do you mean when you say I'm rebellious? Cause I don't accept everything that you're telling us. What are you selling us? The creator dwelling us. I sit in your unknown class while you're failing us. I failed your class cause I ain't with your reasoning. You're trying to make me you by seasoning. Up my mind with C. Jane Run. See John walking a hardcore New York. Come on now, that's like a chocolate cow. It doesn't exist, no way, no how. It seems to me that in a school this ebony, African history should be pumped up steadily, but it's not. And this has got to stop. See spot run, run get spot. Insulting to a black mentality, a black way of life or a jet black family. So I include with one concern that you must learn.
Just like I told you.
You must learn.
Can, okay.
Testing, testing.
Is his, Aiza's mic on? We got a lot of moving parts here, you guys.
Peace, 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 and blessings to the PFW family. If it is 6 p.m. on a Thursday and you are hearing BDP drop You Must Learn, then surely you must be at one of the smartest shows in the Pacifica catalog. You Must Learn is smart because we focus upon liberatory education as opposed to indoctrination that often is happening in our educational system here in America. So welcome to You Must Learn. Again, we hope that you will buckle up because we are about to blast off with a hot show this evening. In fact, I am on the road, blessed to be calling from the Twin City and excited to be in the house. That's right. We got a live audience here. And what we are going to be doing is talking with some visionary school founders. So buckle up. Because Kansas is about to go bye-bye. All right. But, you know, before we get into the good stuff, we want to go ahead and start. Because if there is nothing else that you would have learned on You Must Learn, surely you're going to learn a Black history fact. So we're going to start off today in Black history, October the 14th. You have Paul Robeson, the luminary himself, who was an activist, a scholar, an actor. While he was in college, he was actually segregated against because he was black. They said that they were going to sit him on the side from playing football because there were some teams that didn't want to play with a black man. And so Paul Robeson, who went on to be All-American, was actually put on the sideline just because he was black and some white teams didn't want to have a black person playing. But if you want to find out more about this short clip in Black history, you can follow me on Twitter at AyizeS. That's at AyizeS. And you will be able to learn a little more about today in Black history. In fact, that message is brought to you by the Zen Education Project today. All right. So again, This is You Must Learn on WPFW. We are in our pledge drive. So if you would, please consider making a contribution to WPFW. In fact, we have a goal to meet $500, and we already have a challenge match that's been put on the table by Pastor Jess. Woohoo! Tremendous. So Pastor Jess has already got us started off so that we are halfway to our goal. And so our cup is already running over. So we want you all to go ahead and call into the show. You can get a face mask, a WPFW Jazz and Justice face mask for $40. You can get the I Love WPFW face mask for $75. We have a new Malcolm X CD compilation for $175. So all I need is just three folk picking up the Malcolm X jump drive, and you will be able to help us meet our goal. All right. So without further ado, and again, if you wanted to pledge, you can call 202-588-9739, or if you are outside of the DMV, DC, Maryland, Virginia, you can call 1-800-222-9739, or you can go online to wpfwfm.org to make a donation, or for those tech savvy folk, you can go to Cash App $WPFW. Help us meet our goal so that we might be able to stay on the air. All right. So we're going to switch gears. We are in the place with Impact, Living Christian Center, and we are excited. We got an audience full of folk who are here. Come on, let them hear you. And in fact, not only are we here in the Twin City, but we also have folk on Zoom who are joining us globally. So we got visionary school leaders, folk in Nigeria on the line. We got folk in Ohio. So we got a global connection right here today. All right. So what I'm going to do is ask each one of our panelists if they would go ahead and introduce themselves so that you might be able to understand the power that we have in the house. So if you would, I'm going to start. I'm looking at Pastor Jess. So Pastor Jess, if you're ready to introduce yourself, give a who you be? Oh, no, I got educated. Who are you for the listening audience? Please, Pastor Jess.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Dr. Aize, for having us on your show today and for being with us in Minnesota. My name is Pastor Jessica Jackson, and I am one of the founders of Morning Glory Montessori here in Minneapolis that is scheduled to open next fall.
Well, it's good to be here, Dr. Aize. My name is Reverend Timothy Jackson. I am the senior pastor here at Impact Living Christian Center, also a founder alongside of my wife, who is the visionary of our school and the brains behind our new initiative, Morning Glory Montessori. It's good to be here. We're so excited.
Woohoo! That's right. Come on. Give it up. Give it up. Yeah, yeah. All right. So we have also on the line, we're going to go across the pond. Yeah. They say they're talking about, we're going to go the other way across the pond. We're going to go to Nigeria. So if, Prudence, if you are ready to go ahead and introduce yourself, please go ahead, Prudence.
Hello, everyone. My name is Prudence Ochuko, Prudence Daniels, and I'm calling in from Nigeria. I am the founder of Moma Hill Montessori School, Lagos, Nigeria. Moma Hill has got 0 to 3, 3 to 6, and 6 to 12 programs of the Montessori pedagogy. Mm.
All right. There you go. All right, we're going to bring it back to this side of the pond. All right, we're going to Ohio. Go ahead, Sister Jill. Come on, introduce yourself.
All right. Thank you for inviting me to this show, Dr. Aize. My name is Jill Evans. I am the visionary and founder of Goldenrod Montessori in Cleveland, Ohio. And I'm blessed and privileged to be here tonight. We started our school in operation January of 2021. This is our first full year beginning this September. So we are so excited to be in community with our community, but also with you.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Woo! Come on, guess I give it up, give it up. And now I must say, in full disclosure, I am blessed to be connected with Prudence and Jill because the Black Montessori Education Fund actually helped to give a small financial contribution to both of those school visionary founders. And, you know, we just, in full disclosure, so that folk don't get it twisted, so everybody knows what is going on. But to have this panel of luminaries who have branched out to do some trailblazing and dynamic work, we thought it would be brilliant. All right, so we're going to go straight in to some of our questions here. And we have our audience that's live that's also going to write down some questions for us. So we're going to jump right in. All right, so the first question is we're going to go across the pond to Prudence. Please tell us about what was the inspiration for establishing your school. Again, give the name of your school, where you are located, just so folk are clear that this is a global movement. So go ahead, Prudence.
Okay, this is very exciting. I've got several inspirations for establishing the school. First off, I wasn't even planning on establishing any school. I wasn't planning on founding a Montessori school. Rather, I would say the Montessori school found me. Yeah. Because some years back, when our children were of school age, we were looking for schools for them. And we found a suitable school, a Montessori school, when we didn't even know what Montessori stood for or what we stood to gain from enrolling our children in that school. But as the time passed, we saw the beautiful pedagogical expression in my children. We saw order, we saw structure, we saw coordination, we saw independence, and I got glued. So I started to question about this educational method, and I wanted to know more. So I signed up to learn a little bit more just to help the children around me, and that's how I got stuck. So I said, this educational method must go round. It shouldn't be limited to my children only, because I went sourcing for a school that is good, but I wanted it to spread out. I wanted to reach as many people as possible. So that was my first inspiration. The second one, which leads me to the name of the school, was my mom. Mrs. Helen Moma of Fortokun, I believe she set me up for great success without even knowing it herself. And by doing that, she kind of placed me on the highest pedestal of life. So I believe that every child will be found. For example, I'm on this call today because my mom putting her best in me and left the rest to God. So if we all put in our best in every child that we come across today or tomorrow or in our lifetime, and then leave the rest to God, that child will be found. I'm in Africa joining this event that is going on in America. So I give it to her because she put in all her best. I have a sibling or two on this call, and they will bear me witness. My mom works so hard to put us on the highest pedestal of life. So I said, every Moma Hill Montessori child will be positioned on the highest pedestal of life so they can be the best of who they are called to be, of who they have come to this world to become. So that's how the name came up. It's a twist. My mom is Helen Moma. She put me on the highest pedestal of life. So Moma Hill is a significant hill representing that. But for every parent or every adult or everybody who would sow a seed, do something for a child to place them on the highest pedestal possible, that person is doing a noble work like my mom did, and whoever that child is, whether it's known to them or not, would be found on the globe, on the planet, no matter where they are.
Woo, that is powerful. Come on, woo! I heard two inspirations. One, you know, almost going straight biblical, how to reach the masses. You said it can't just be for my child. We got to take it to as many as possible. That's biblical right there. And then you said your mom set you up for success. Woo, man, that is powerful. To have you on the highest pedestal so that you might be able to allow children, wherever they are, to be able to shine forth the light that God has put in them. That is tremendous. All right, come on. We're going to come across the pond to Jill. Similar question. Jill, what was your inspiration for starting? And please, again, give the name and location of your school. And because we got so many dynamos, we're going to have to try and limit our response because we're not going to get to all of these questions in time. So let's bring it. Come on, y'all. Come on.
Okay, I'll try to make my response short, even though it'd be a quite lengthy story. The name of my school is Goldenrod Montessori, and we are located in Cleveland, Ohio. The inspiration for the name came to me because just from driving around our city, and I saw a yellow flower, and I said, Goldenrod, that's going to be the name of our school. The Latin name for goldenrod is solidago, and that means healing and helpful. So to go from there, I was a public school teacher here in Cleveland, Ohio, and I worked at a public Montessori school. So I'm a great believer that Montessori is the best method for children to learn because it allows them to be free along their own developmental path. And so I was not looking to open a school. I just happened to, as a Montessorian, speaking to another, having a discussion with another Montessori about social justice versus equity. And through that conversation, she let me know that she had just attended a national conference where they were talking about wildflower schools. And there was someone there talking about how they were interested in opening up wildflower schools all over the United States. By the end of that conversation, I said, that's what I'm going to do. And she kind of looked at me like, are you kidding me? The very next day, I contacted Wildflower Foundation and said I was interested in opening up a wildflower school. And they politely said, well, that's wonderful, but we're not opening up a wildflower school in Cleveland, Ohio. So that kind of dashed my hopes right there. But 3 days later, Castle O'Neill, she emailed me and said they were interested in opening up a wildflower school. But let me tell you why. I loved working, teaching in my urban city schools. I loved the children that I taught. However, I did not love working in a broken system that called our children failures before they even got through the door. So I wanted to be in a place where every child walks through the door and it's called wonderful, and that they can soar to the highest heights without any type of judgment, without any type of label. They can just be their wonderful selves and exceed to the point where my goal is no matter where they go, whether they, we have two children's houses, whether they continue in Montessori, whether they go to public school, they're going to be more than prepared through the Montessori method. And hopefully if they do go to public school, they can advance and be called gifted.
So that's tremendous. Come on, put your hands together. Tremendous. The children come through the door and be called wonderful. That's biblically there too. All right, so we're going to keep it moving. Thank you so much, Prudence and Jill. Now I want to move over to Pastor Jay. Pastor Jess, why don't you go ahead and talk about what was your vision around starting Morning Glory Montessori, and how do you envision it to be life-changing for those who participate?
Well, I appreciate the sisters who have already shared, Prudence and Jill. They're definitely kindred spirits. I love that the sister said that Montessori found her, because that is my story. I'm a recovering attorney, and I didn't wake up one day thinking I was going to start a Montessori school. And honestly, for many years, didn't even see myself as an educator necessarily. That came along the journey of recovering from being an attorney. But I think that Morning Glory Montessori, a school for Black boys from 3 years old to third grade. And the impetus for starting with Black boys, in some ways for some of us, is obvious. Because at least here in Minnesota, Black boys are not graduating from high school at a rate of about 50%. And so when you think about half of our population of Black males are not even graduating from high school, that is a crisis. That's a crisis in our community. That is a crisis in our state. And I believe it's a crisis in our nation. But in terms of, you know, how I got here, you know, a theologian once said, your vocation in life is where your greatest joy meets the world's greatest need. And I have come to find that the need for Black boys to have a nurturing space, as the sister said, a space they can be seen as wonderful when they walk in the door, and brilliant while they're there in the room, and dismissed as full of love and joy because they've had a day full of discovery and learning in a Montessori environment, that fills my heart with great joy. And so meeting that need in our specific community through Morning Glory Montessori is part of what inspired me to start this school. And I could also share a whole lot about my mother, because she too, like you, Prudence, has inspired me. But we'll share more about that maybe later.
Come on, call mom's name.
My mother, Ruby L. Hughes. And here in Minnesota, if you ever come to Minnesota, you can certainly go to see Princess Place and all of that, but you could also go to Ruby L. Hughes Boulevard that exists in North Minneapolis, where I grew up.
Come on, yes, that's right. That is tremendous, powerful. So we already have, wow, I'm already feeling some kind of way, even just from the testimonies, from the parts of the story, talking about even how you've been inspired to get started. I've already heard mothers inspiring. I've heard excellence. I mean, listen to the name, Golden Rod. That speaks of excellence. That's in that tradition of Black excellence that we know so well about. All right, so I need to shift gears, because we are in our pledge drive for WPFW, and I know we have a goal to meet. And so I want to just remind our listeners that if you are so positioned, if you would be so kind to consider making a contribution to WPFW, again, we are looking to have pledges to match what Pastor Jess has already even put on the table, so that you might even match to help us meet our goal. You can pick up the WPFW face mask. Jazz and Justice is what it says. That's a $40 pledge. If you're interested, we have a limited I Love WPFW face mask. That's a $75 pledge. We also, we just passed Indigenous Peoples Day. We have a $100 pledge where you might be able to pick up a Indigenous compilation of voices talking about the justice that is required around Indigenous Peoples Day. We also have a $175 clip of powerful speeches from El-Hajj, Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X for $175. So again, if you are interested in any of those, you can go to 202-588-9739. Or if you're outside of the DMV, you can go to 1-800-222-9739. I'm going to say that one more time if grandma didn't have her pen. 1-800-222-9739. Or online, you can go to WPFWFM.org. Or if you're tech savvy, you can go to Cash App, $WPFW, so you can help us to exceed. Now, we don't even want to just meet our goal. We want to exceed our goal, because to have liberatory educational programming on our airways is critical. Oftentimes, people talk about education and you have non-educators talking about education. And so for us to have experts, folk who are on the front lines talking about education, bringing you the hardcore facts of what's happening, this is an important program. So please support us so that we can exceed our goal. All right. So let me go back to our questioning, and I'm going to ask my panelists. We're going to have to keep our responses short, because we got a bunch of questions and we're not going to have enough time to get to them all. All right. So Prudence, I'm coming across the pond to you. How do you battle with cultural habits that seem to want to break the child's spirit, where we know that Montessori is looking to, as you said, put them on a pedestal and help to inspire? So Prudence, how do you deal with those cultural habits that are trying to break the child?
Okay, so this is very interesting. Yeah, because where I am, we have a very respectful culture, but one that also disrespects the child a lot. If you're Montessorian, you know what I'm talking about. So these are two extremes, you know, that are opposite each other. It is difficult to just nurture like an African core Nigerian child without the spanking, without the shouting, without the disrespecting and all of that. So as a school, we knew that was going to be difficult. In fact, when I set out to start the school, a lot of folks told me it wasn't going to work. You want to practice authentic Montessori school in Nigeria? No way. A lot of them said parents are not going to bring their children because they'll believe you're going to just spoil those children with pampering. So I said, okay, so we're going to find a way to deal with that. So first off, we interview our parents. We have like an onboarding process where we speak to you about our school ideals and what we expect you as a parent to do at home. We also have like an interview before even the onboarding process where we get to learn about what you believe in as a parent and how and what parenting style you are adopting. So that way we are able to have a sneak peek into what your expectations are of us. And then it gives us a chance to open you up a little bit to what Montessori offers. And I tell you, a lot of parents come in and they have their eyes open. And some of them have just turned over their children to us. And through the parents' education, they're able to take on the role of Montessori parents. And some of them are doing so great. It's difficult to practice where I am, but it's working. And I'm grateful to God for that.
Yeah, all right. All right. Give thanks. Give thanks. All right. So again, please, panelists, please try and keep your responses maybe to a minute so that we can try and get to as many questions as possible. All right. So Jill, I'm coming. We're coming back this side of the pond. Jill, talk about some of your challenges. What have you had to deal with and how have you worked to overcome some of your challenges, Jill?
Challenges in operating the school or creating the school? I'm not quite sure where you're.
You can give either angle you want.
Well, I can say just for anyone wanting to open a wildflower school, it was pretty challenging because we did it at the onset of COVID. Mm-hmm. And we had to, we were determined that we were going to push through and open the school despite those challenges. So we planned a school and we opened the school during COVID-19. And so there were, that was one particular challenge. And with my optimism, I thought it would only take about 3 months. However, it took 8. So that was very challenging to do. And I learned a lot from that process. And but as far as other challenges, maybe educating parents, we have just recently purchased a book that's a very good and readable book, Montessori for Every Family. And one of my parents just exclaimed how she was really enjoying that book, gave her really good suggestions on parenting. And also we're constantly trying to give suggestions to parents about some ideas on joining what their practices are with our Montessori practice. I will say, though, that every child comes with their own culture and with their own history that we respect. So within those boundaries, we try to not only adapt our Montessori methods in the classroom and outside of the classroom, but respect the cultures that we represent.
Nice. Thank you so much. And Jill, you spoke of challenges, and I'm sure getting support from Wildflower. And so folk who are in the listening audience, you might even be able to Google Wildflower if you're interested in considering starting a Montessori school. They have been helping folk around the nation to get Montessori schools set up in storefront urban environments. And so you can check out Wildflower Foundation for that. All right. So Pastor Jay, we're coming over to you. I know in reading some information on Impact Living Christian Center here, you described yourselves as a beloved community and that focuses upon problem solving. So why don't you explain what is the importance of that problem solving approach and being a little, oh, Pastor Tim, go ahead. Come on now.
Yeah, we're going to double dutch here. I'm just excited to be a part of this, joining our prophetic womanist in this setting as we talk about Montessori pedagogy and starting schools. The church plays a significant role in not only through faith formation. It is not just a place where we experience God in this place that we call the church, right? But the Black church in general has played a significant role in the advancement of our cause, our fight for civil and human rights. It is a place where we grapple with social and political constructs that devalued and dehumanize us as people. And so we galvanize in this place where we worship and we express our faith through song, dance, the liturgy, through our food, right? Hip hop. And so this religious praxis is a lived realism, right? It's not just something that is just focused on the creeds. And so it is a call to action. It is a prophetic, and moral imagination that uplifts the humanness of Black people, right? We're unapologetically focused on the issues that we as Black people face in this horror film that we are a part of, right? We're this monster that we call, and Dr. King labels it, the three triplets of evil: classism, racism, and militarism. And we're dealing with the third part of that triad, racism. And I just want to say this before I rest the feather, is that when we sat down with our founding board members here at ILCC, we talked about what kind of church do we envision having? What will be our prophetic and our public witness? How will we respond? And Howard Thurman argued this was his thesis argument in his book that he penned in 1949, Jesus in the Disinherited. His argument was, what does your religion say to the masses of men and women whose backs are against the wall? And so we continue to grapple with that question of what does our theology say to the folk who are at the bottom, right? And so our theology, our framing is a bottom-up framing. And so how does that relate to, how do we bring that into the Montessori pedagogy? We bring ourselves in this space as we walk with the child, as the child leads us, right? We bring our stories. We bring these Illuminatis into the conversation. So it's not a proselytizing. We're not trying to evangelize the child. We're walking with the child. The child already has these lived stories, these religious stories in their body, in their person. We're there just to cultivate that and to build an institution that will address these social constructs that continue to dehumanize us. So there's a decolonization that's taking place, a de-scaffolding, right? And so it's a process. It's a religious experience that is not just focused on evangelism or proselytizing or preaching, right? Even though I may sound like I'm preaching because I do that for a living. So I'll rest with that.
No, we're going to have the church say amen. What does your educational construct say to folk who's got their backs against the wall? Come on now. See, that's why I'm asking you all who are in a listening audience to support WPFW, because really you must learn. We need to have a 2-hour show because it's not enough time in this 1 hour to get this is good stuff right here. Oh my. All right. Well, let me try and compose myself. We are at the halfway mark where we need to take our music break. So if we are ready, and Pastor Tim just talked about even how music can help to move the liberatory force. So we're going to take our music break, and we got some hip hop. We got some KRS dropping one of the new tunes that he just came up with. So, Brother Khali, if we're ready, let's go to our music break now.
We want black power. We want black power. We want black power.
Not a regular, this is that boom, blah, blah, blah. Some they call it secular, I just call it black, black, black. Marcus Garvey, Book Mendati, bring that army, black, black, black. Malcolm X and Kwame Ture, this is where I'm at. If you wanna talk to me about black, black, black. Haile Selassie the first, Negus Nagas, let's talk about that, that, that. Kaboom, Nanny Maroon and all the Maroons, let's talk about that, that, that. The real Underground Railroad, the first subway for black, black, black. The freedom train begins with your brain, getting on track, track, track. Whether justice or injustice, how do you react, act, act? Can you stand there laughing while they shoot us in the black, black, black? This is what some rappers sound like every time they rap, rap, rap. I'm raising up the red and the green and the black, black, black. Even with no cops in the hood, we still hear click, click, clack, clack, clack. I cannot forget my ancestors just because I rap, rap, rap. Look at me from top to bottom. KRS is black, black, black. Get up, get out, speak up, speak out, reach up, reach out. This is what black about. Get up, get out, speak up, speak out, reach up, reach out. This is what I rap about. Get up, get out, speak up, speak out, reach up, reach out. Too many selling out. Get up, get out, reach up, reach out, lift up, lift out. Yes, out. Time to ask the question now. Are you really?
Sometimes the music be so good you don't want to bring it down.
Okay.
All right, all right. Welcome back. This is the second half of WPFW's You Must Learn, your liberatory educational show that is working on freeing your mind. If you are just joining us, we are having a dynamic show. Man, we just don't even have enough time. You don't even know. It is powerful. You can cut the power with a knife. It is palpable. So I hope you have been tuned in, sitting maybe glued to your to your radio. I don't know if folks still listen to radios old fashioned, or are you listening on your computer? I don't know. However you are listening, I hope you're getting the good stuff that's pumping through the airways right now. Again, we're in our pledge drive. We are looking to meet a small goal, $500. If you are interested in supporting this liberatory programming, I would implore you to go to your phone, call 202-588-9739. Or if you're outside of the DMV, you can go to call 1-800-222-9739 to make a donation. Or if you are tech savvy, you can go to your Cash App, $WPFW. We have the nice Jazz and Justice WPFW face mask. That's only $40. You can get the I Love WPFW. That's a $75 pledge. If you want to go ahead and pick up, we just passed Indigenous Peoples Day. We have some powerful Indigenous warriors talking about the importance of Indigenous peoples, liberatory struggle. That's $100 jump drive. Or you can pick up the powerful voices of Malcolm X giving some of his fire. Woo, man. You listen to some Ballad or the Bullet. You listen. You pick that up for $175 contribution. And again, you can go to online WPFWFM.org. or Cash App, $WPFW, to help us to exceed our goal. All right, so we got our global panelists here of visionary Black school founders, and we're going to have to, again, please, panelists, keep these responses down. I know the fire get in you, but we got to try and get through as many questions as possible. All right, so I'm going to bring it over to Nigeria with Prudence. So Prudence, I understand there in Nigeria, many times, and you know, we can't give prices on the air, but I know here in America, to send a child to a Montessori school is almost comparable to sending somebody to college. And so how are you wrestling or dealing with sponsorship for children there in Nigeria, Prudence?
Okay, so the value of our Montessori program we offer here at Moma Hill is something that in the community we are in, many are not able to afford. So we price it at a quarter of the value we are offering. And you wouldn't believe, even at a quarter, close to 80 families previewed our school in the last 10 months and are not able to afford it. So because of that, we launched our MoMA Spark program, which is the MoMA Hill School Sponsor a Child program. And we got a handful of scholarship from individuals for children through that. But at the same time, as a school, we get to give a lot of discounts, which is not healthy for our numbers, but we just have to do it to keep the children in school. So this is a huge challenge we're facing as a school. The community is not a very big one. Like when I took my children to school, I had to drive 2 hours in traffic, but we said, no, we're going to bring the school to them. They don't have to drive in traffic to get to the school. So that's what inspired the location. But then the next challenge is the people within the location cannot afford it. So we're struggling because every time we have to compromise in one way or the other to get a child in. And this is a big struggle for us as a school.
No, that is real talk. And again, to those folk who are listening, many folk talk about the importance of education, but not too many are investing in education. It is expensive to provide excellence to our children. So again, you heard she said she had to discount it
so that we can have more children going to their school. And I just have to back up for a moment. If I put my BMEF, Black Montessori Education Fund hat on, when we launched the BMEF, the first year we wanted to give, we were going to give $5,000 out in awards. We got requests of over $200,000 from around the world. So we said, there's no way we're going to give just $5,000. So the first round, we wound up giving $30,000. Then the second round, we said, we're going to give about $30,000 again. And we got requests of over $800,000 from around the world. So in our first year, we've given away over $100,000. No, thank you all for clapping, but that's really just scratching the surface. We got requests of over $1 million. So the target really is $1 million, even in with the, you know, we exceeded what we gave, but really $1 million is what we need. And so we need folk to be investing so that we can go ahead and have quality education for all children who are seeking that path, right? All right. Let me try and put my hat back on of the, you know, hosting this properly. All right, Pastor Jess, we coming back to you on this side of the pond. Black educational activists and leaders in the global liberation movement for liberatory education is an important concept. I've heard you talk about that. Please explain, what does that mean to you?
Well, it means a lot of things. And my husband touched on a little bit when he started talking about decolonization of our minds and of our lives, really, our lived experience. It's about intellectual emancipation, as Dr. King would say, and being free to be who God designed you to be, and to think and create and innovate and bring to the world what you came to the world with. And as many of us know, education is about drawing out. It's not about putting in. It's about drawing out what is already inherently within the child. And so when we talk about Black educational activism, that's what it's about. It's about allowing Black people to lead the way to create spaces for our children to be free to be who God created them to be. You know, I'm reading a book right now. I just started reading this powerful book. It's called An African American Dilemma. And it's written by a woman. She's a historian, and she has documented the history for African American people and the tension between integration and putting our children into integrated school systems, which of course we fought for, right? Brown versus Board of Education. That's what it was all about, right? Desegregation and having the right for our children to attend certain schools that they couldn't in the past. But therein lied this dilemma because of what that actually produced. And so then there's this tension that she talks about, the African-American dilemma between those who have advocated for more of that and those who have said, no, we need to come aside, if you will, and be able to lead our own children. And there's a history, of course, that comes in the Reconstruction era of Black-led segregated schools that were publicly funded. And she starts with a very powerful story of a boarding school out east that I had never heard of. 300 acres. And they were educating young Black people in these powerful ways. And then Brown was used to say, this is segregated and therefore can't exist anymore. This is the dilemma. When we look at what has what progress has produced as activists, and there were Black activists on both sides, Black activists, NAACP and others that said, no, integration is the way. And then Black activists on the other side, they said, no, we need to be the ones to lead. And so there's this tension, there's this dance, there's this, what is the something better? What is the path for our children? Because where we are is not okay. We have to produce something different. And so the activism is just that. You know, what now? You know, how are the children now?
Mm, powerful, powerful. Ooh, did you hear the pregnant pause? That was powerful. So, Jill, I'm coming to you. But before I come to you, I just got a remark on what Pastor Jess has just dropped, some gems. So I'm actually, last night, you know, I talked with folk. I'm working on a Marcus Garvey exoneration project and trying to prepare for it, reading some John Henry Clark. And he said the table was already set for Garvey from some of the, you know, he went to Henry Highland Garnett. He talked about Ida B. Wells. I mean, he talked some powerfully, but he said basically the struggle was for identity and for full humanity. And so again, because we were considered 3/5 less than a human, folk were pressing their way for identity, full identity, and for full humanity. And so you spoke of Black Reconstruction, and Black Reconstruction had the saying, education for liberation. And so we were clear in setting up some of the first Black public, really some of the first public schools were set up under Reconstruction, and we were about Black excellence. Now, what happens when you move to the civil rights, what you see is Black schools were getting less money than white schools were getting. I mean, in fact, they did one statistic. It was almost like a tenth of what white schools. And so folks said, well, if we try to do integration, then maybe we can get that full humanity by integrating. So again, let's not get twisted. We were clear that we already have Black excellence in our own schools, but if we can get some more resources by we don't have enough time. We don't have enough time. All right. Follow the money. All right. But Jill, let me come to you because our time is running short. Wow. Look at the time. It's already 5:50. Oh, man. All right. So Jill, talk about the demographics of your school, and are you achieving some of what you envisioned when you opened up Goldenrod Montessori? Go ahead, Jill.
Oh, absolutely. We are intentionally diverse, culturally and socially. We have majority, I'd say 71% African American. We have Asian, and we have European Americans in our school. So we are a school that are surrounded by at least 5 different communities, 3 of them which are urban city communities. And we reach out to all to populate our schools. We still have the same issues that Prudence has. However, we're working to try to overcome some of those issues where it's we have low-income students, they're taken care of. We have high-income students from families, high-income families, they can afford us. So we have that middle income that we need to provide some equity for. So, and we're working hard to do that. So I just also want to say that I grew up pre-integration. I'm a product of Black excellence and Black excellent segregated schools. So I just want to say and give testimony to a lot of times we come up with good ideas. However, in this system that we work in, there are always other systems or the dominant system that work against us. And I really wish all of our students could have gone to the schools that I attended because they knew what they were about.
Yes.
They knew just what they were about.
That's right.
Product of that.
That's right. Product of that. That is tremendous. Come on, give her a hand. Woo! A product of that Black excellence. All right. So I'm watching the time. We got about 4 more minutes before we got to wrap this up. So let me just do this. Again, you are listening to WPFW. This is You Must Learn, the liberatory educational show that is bringing you some programming to help free your mind from the indoctrinational mess that has got us in a quagmire today. So if you are interested in helping to support this program, please consider making a donation. You can go ahead and get your Jazz and Justice face mask. That's a $40 donation. You can pick up the I Love WPFW. That's a $75 donation for the face mask. Call 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. Or online, you can go to WPFWFM.org. Or if you're tech savvy, you can use your Cash App, $WPFW, and go ahead and help to support this liberatory educational program. Where else are you getting programs that are bringing you Black Reconstruction, that are bringing you the Black excellence that was happening back then, that is bringing you some Howard Thurman that's talking about when your back is against the wall? Which, come on, where else are you getting that? And so again, support this station. All right. Let me go ahead and ask each one of our panelists if they would give maybe 1 minute closing response, because we're going to have to wrap this up in a minute. So let's go across the pond. Prudence, in about a minute, 30 seconds to a minute, give us your final remarks. Go ahead, Prudence.
I was just going to say that if wishes were horses, I'm going to set up a Montessori village in Nigeria, where every child can come and just be trained on a Montessori excellent pedagogy for as low as almost free or whatever they can afford, and get the best education ever and not have to struggle to get that.
Powerful, the Montessori village. All right, I see it right there in Nigeria. All right, I hope you can see it too. All right, come on, we're going to go to you, Jill. Any final comments? 30 seconds to a minute. Come on.
I just enjoy Prudence because we are on the same wavelength. I believe that Montessori, if there's anybody who wants to open preschool, please contact the Wildflower Foundation, because if we have Montessori on every corner, our children would thrive.
That's right. That's Dr. Bettina Love. We don't want to just survive. We want to thrive. Come on now. That's tremendous. All right. Come on, Pastor Jess, bring us. What is the final word, vision? Come on, bring it.
Well, I just want to thank my sisters in Ohio and Nigeria. I just thank God for you. I'm standing on your back as we look to start Morning Glory Montessori. You know, when we think about what we want to see, I think of a quote by Dr. Michael Dyson, and he says, love is what justice looks like in public. And we are trying through a labor of love to give birth to Morning Glory Montessori and create a nurturing and safe and inspiring an environment for our Black boys. And so we are seeking justice that looks like love in public and that produces the kind of peace that I think we all want. And so I just thank all of you for being here in person and online. And I have more to say, but I'm going to save that for the second hour.
Tremendous, powerful. Well, again, thank you all for joining. You've been listening to WPFW. This is You Must Learn, your educational liberatory show. It's still not too late to go ahead and make a donation to support our programming. Again, you can go to Cash App, $WPFW. You can go to WPFWFM.org. Make a contribution to help us, because this is powerful programming. This is Baba Ize. I have to get ready to sign off. But again, I want to say hallelujah. Thank you for just this tremendous program. I want to thank Impact Living Christian Center for hosting this powerful session. Everybody that has been in attendance, again, you have been listening to WPFW, and I'm going to sign off. Bye-bye, Ize, saying peace. Until we connect again, I pray that you might live more, love more, shine more. Bye-bye, Ize out. Peace.
What I mean, you know. soul in power.